today on Real Radio.
And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series on parables. In upcoming programs here on Real Radio, Pastor Jack's going to examine in depth some specific parables we find in Scripture. But before we hear these lessons, we got to first understand what parables are, what their purpose is, and the audience for which they're intended. And so, here it is, the introductory lesson called The Parables, The Technicolor of Truth.
Verse 7, some fell, that is some seed, fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And here's the challenge. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 10. And the disciples came to him, that is Jesus, asking, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. And here's the reason why. You might say, well, wait, that's not right. You mean God gives some people enlightenment and some not in a whimsical manner? Nope. Jesus is going to answer this. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Church, listen. And he who have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is absolutely awesome. Don't think for a moment that God is saying, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you get to go to heaven and, you know, whatever. He doesn't do that. The word goes out. God, who is eternal, knows how people are going to respond. Before you and I ever respond, he knows, because he's timeless. So when the truth goes out, it's the exact same truth that the believer and the unbeliever hears. The same thing. It's how it's processed. How do they take it in? One guy takes it in and says, wow, this is amazing. I want to hear more of this. Well, at the other moment, the other guy's saying, I don't want any to do this. I could care less. Both people have enough understanding given by God to do something with it. Are you listening? This is serious stuff. What you do with it, you're responsible to God. If you say, I went to church, it's crazy, I don't know that. People are crazy, music's crazy, pastor's crazy, it's all crazy. Forget about all that stuff. Did you hear a verse from the Bible? Yeah, there are a bunch of verses. What did you do with them? What do you mean, what did I do with them? Oh, yeah, I don't care. Jesus said, what that person has will be taken from him. Church, listen. The more a person, we all know people like this, the more they say no to the gospel. Every time they say no, like Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh said, no way. He kept saying no until he wound up getting stuck in his no. A person begins to hold their ground so firm and resist that they become petrified in their view. That's a dangerous thing. Every time somebody hears the gospel and resists, it's harder for them next time to respond. Has God ever told you to stop sharing with somebody and just pray for them now? Sometimes somebody will say to me, Pastor, I've shared with my husband or my wife or my parents the gospel 20 times. What should I do? I'll tell them, stop. Are you sure they know the way of salvation? Yes. Then stop telling them. Fast, pray, become burdened for their soul. Why? Because that person is resisting and resisting. Jesus said here in this parable, what they have, with every rejection of the gospel, it dissipates. It's their ability seems to almost evaporate out in a way until they reach that point. You know, the Bible says in the Proverbs, he who is often rebuked hardens his heart and will be taken away, and that without remedy. Can you imagine? But it's he who often is rebuked who hardens his heart against the rebuke. He's not softened. But on the flip side, the person that is open, I want to know more about God. This is interesting. I want to find out more. Maybe, you know, something's happening when I hear the word of God go out. Listen, Jesus says, that person who has something, I'm going to give them more. If a person is bent on declining in darkness, Jesus allows them to go on the path that they're choosing. If someone wants to be open and to be receptive to the gospel, Jesus, as it were, stokes the flame, turns on more lights. That is a very comforting thing to keep in mind. And I'm blessed by that. And so are you. Number four, God's technicolor truth removes truth from the unbeliever. It's what we're just talking about. It removes truth. The parable goes out, the truth will be removed based on Jesus' teaching that these are they who their hearts have become hardened. They're like the soil. The word of God goes out. Their hearts are hard. The word hits and bounces off. The truth goes out. Listen, and this is amazing. God is justified. Watch this. The truth goes out to all people. Some reject, some accept, but it's rejected by those who don't want anything to do with him. And tragically, their prayer is answered. Last Sunday, broke my heart, still breaks my heart. A mother came to me very concerned about her child, her adult child. And she wanted some comfort. And church, listen, put yourself in my shoes for a second here as you hear this. Pastor, I have a question. My son is living a certain lifestyle and he's doing all this stuff and there's no sign of him being a Christian. I said, how long has this been going on? For years. But he went forward at a crusade. So I know he's saved. And I said, based on what? What are you basing his salvation on? She said, he went forward at a crusade. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not salvation. You cannot, that cannot save you. Do you understand? Well, I've gone to church all my life. So, I mean, what does that mean? It means you spend a lot of gas money. Are you born again? And it broke my heart because she asked me, what will happen if my son were to die in this condition? And she wants me to answer her. Okay, number one, stop right there. My emotions, like your emotions right now, I can feel the love. Your emotions are like my emotions, and you want to say to her, oh, you know, because he went forward, he'll go to heaven. It's okay. You can't say that. That's it. Our emotions are wrong most of the time. My answer was, listen, the Bible says that we need to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Even the thief on the cross brought forth fruit worthy of repentance by his declaration on the cross. The thief on the cross, in his moment of witnessing, hit a home run. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I said, I don't know if your son is saved or not, but I tell you this, if I were deaf and I couldn't hear what his words were and watched his life, I said, well, what would you conclude? And you could see the terror on her face. The bottom line is this, we don't know when you see such things going on. When the gospel comes into somebody's life, it is the power of God, and they will be changed. Some faster than others, some deeper than others, but a change happens. Church, you must confirm between you and the Lord, has a change happened in your life, or have you been just in the vicinity of Christian stuff? Have you just been around Christian things? That's a sobering thought, I know. But God's truth goes out that way. In Luke chapter 8, verse 10, the scripture says, "And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see." Isn't that wild? "And hearing they may not understand." He doesn't blind them. The Bible says the god of this world has blinded them. Satan. G. Campbell Morgan writes this. "This is a remarkable act of mercy on God's part, because they loved their sin and the darkness that it gave them. The parable is employed both to expose their sinfulness while at the same time shielding them from," listen to this, "from any further damnation by preventing greater responsibility to what they already knew about God and the way of salvation." G. Campbell Morgan says this. What did he just say? When the parable goes out, when someone has rejected in the mercy of God, this is amazing. A person that is going to reject the gospel and wind up in hell, the parable that exposes their darkness and themselves to the darkness then shields them from knowing any more of the gospel truth, because if they knew more, their punishment would be the greater. Is that amazing? Even in judgment, he's merciful to them. He owes them nothing. He owes us nothing. "I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want God. I hate God. I don't hate Jesus. I don't want anything. No, leave me alone. I don't want." And that person, listen, there comes a point when people share and share, and God prevents them from hearing anymore, because it would only make hell worse for them, because the responsibility would have been greater for what they rejected. Jesus said, "To whom much is given, much is required." In his mercy, he shields them once they have shut the gospel down. Isn't that amazing? That is an amazing thing. And so, listen, fifth and final thing, we'll end with this. God's technicolor truth separates lost from the found. It separates the lost from the found. In what is known as the doctrine of kenosis, we've talked about this some time ago. Kenosis is a remarkable thing that only God, of course, can operate in. When Jesus Christ was here on earth in the flesh, he operated this attribute of God called kenosis. You see, what is that? It is a self-determined, self-willed, self-governed power that the Son of God used while on earth in obedience to his Father. It's this. Do you remember when Peter cut off Malchus's ear in the garden when they came to arrest Jesus? Peter takes out the sword, jumps in front of Jesus, goes to strike the guy's head, misses, and cuts off his ear. Remember that? And Jesus said, "What are you doing? Put away your sword." By the way, while he's saying that, he's reaching down, grabbing the guy's ear. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? Grabs the guy's ear, puts it back on his head. Screws it back on there. And then turns to the disciples, mainly Peter, and says, "Don't you know that I could have called down 12 legions of angels to deliver me?" Did you know that was true? Did you guys know that? Jesus could have snapped his finger and called down the angelic host to protect them. Why didn't he? Kenosis, that's the doctrine. Kenosis. He could have, he didn't. Do you remember when there's times when Jesus knew what people were thinking? And then he said, "Simon, answer me this." And Simon was shocked, because how did he know? Then there's other times when Jesus did not know. The Bible says in Luke's gospel that Jesus Christ grew in the grace and knowledge and had favor with both God and man. How does that happen? He's God in human skin. Kenosis. He willed out of his own self-determination to not know certain things at certain times. Do you remember when Jesus said, "I don't know when I'm coming back. The angels don't know, only my Father in heaven." Do you know why he didn't know? He chose not to know. Let me tell you, I don't know what you think about that, but that's impressive. Would you ever choose to not know? Inquiring minds gotta know. You want to know. Jesus, in his obedience to the Father, trust in the Father. Imagine in the wilderness, Satan's tempting him with, turn these stones to bread. Takes him to the temple, jump off, you watch, the angels will help you. If Jesus wasn't operating in kenosis, he could have just obliterated the whole scene. But he showed us how we, dependent upon the word of God, can even defeat Satan by the word of God. Remember that. He used the word of God. You might say, well, yeah, but he was God himself. He was 100% man and 100% God. And in the temptation, he didn't lean on his divine power to say, Satan, you know what? You smell. He could have done it. He could have done it like that. It's absolutely awesome. So that when Jesus preached the gospel and when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, for example, and he said, follow me. Notice he walked by the toll gate where Matthew was seated, and see which version is true. Jesus walked by and threw a fishing net on Matthew and drug him behind him until he yelled and said, I give up, I'll follow you, okay already. No, or Jesus walked by and he said, come and follow me, and just kept walking. By the way, did you know that? The Greek word implies that Jesus just kept going. He walked by James and John, the sons of Zebedee. He walked by them and said, come and follow me. And he didn't say, come on. Come and follow me. I mean, I'm trying to start something here. And I got some big plans. It could really go around the world. I think it's going to happen. He walked by and they responded. Did Jesus ever say, and I don't know the answer. I'm honestly asking you. Did Jesus ever say to Judas, come and follow me? I'm gonna guess he did. He was one of the 12. Think about that. People say, man, this church is too big. Hey, listen, Jesus pastored a church of 12 people, and one of them was possessed. Think of that. I want a smaller church. Smaller than 12, I hope. Come and follow me. He didn't coerce them. You're going to be blown away with how the parables do not apologize. Jesus gives the word and he lets the Holy Spirit use that, and the outcome is God's business, and Jesus never worried about that. Neither should we. And that flies in the face, my friends, of a lot of church movement seminars. Come to our seminar and learn how you can get people into your church. Oh yeah, well, how do we do that? First of all, take the word church off your church. Because people won't go to church if it says church. It freaks them out. Next thing is, do this, just like the world does it, but do it this way. And then they'll come in and they won't even really know that they're in a church until it's too late. You'll get them to sign up for the baking contest or the hot rod rally thing, and they'll go and hang out with some people, and eventually they'll just kind of blend in and become part of the group. Don't use the word sin or repent. Those are negative terms. And in Matthew's gospel, we'll read it later in detail, later, some other day. Jesus is ministering, he's teaching, it says, in parables, he's healing people, and someone's watching. Now watch this. Someone's watching, and the guy comes running up to Jesus. He's a young guy. In fact, you read all the gospels, and you conclude, it all comes together, you have to read them all. One of the gospels says he's rich, one of the gospels says he's young, and one of the gospels says that he's an authority. He has power. The rich young ruler. You all know him, right? And he comes running up. Jesus, Jesus. Watch this. Jesus, Jesus. Good master, which is a tremendous term in that culture. Good master. God-like master. What God-like thing must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? How do I do
what you do so I can be with you. How do I join this club?
You know what Jesus said to him?
Okay, first of all, I know, you know what Jesus said to him. But if Jesus would have attended these modern day seminars to grow your church, Jesus would have first of all paused and said,
this is a rich young ruler. We can use him in the development of this worldwide thing I want to do. He's got the energy. He's got the authority. He's got the box. Whatever we do, Peter, listen, James, treat this guy nice. Give him a seat up front here. Don't upset him.
So imagine in the modern day world, the guy pulls up in his black, you know, low ride donkey, pulls up there, cuts people off. Hey man, I'm the rich young ruler. Me and Jesus, we're tight. And everything's compromised because you don't want to lose a guy like that. That's how you build a church. You got to have people like that.
No. Jesus says, why do you call me good? Listen to what he said. Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. Now, a person who doesn't understand what Jesus is all about will say, well, there you go. Jesus just said that he wasn't God. He said the exact opposite. You need to understand the way that they talk. Jesus is saying to this guy to draw faith out of him, you just called me good because you've seen me do God-like things. So why are you calling me this? Do you recognize who I am? And so Jesus says, do all these things and you will enter the kingdom of heaven. You'll have the kingdom. Everything Jesus said to that man, the man thought he had kept. But then when Jesus said, okay, now here's the thing. Go and sell all, church, is this how you get to heaven? Listen to what Jesus said. Go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then you'll have eternal life. Is that how you get eternal life? You know what Jesus was doing? Jesus was not tricking him. Jesus was literally speaking to the man's idols. You need to tear down your idols. You can't get into the kingdom because it's not that you have money or not money. The issue is you worship your stuff. That's where you have found your identities and your things. That's why you can't even recognize who I am. And the Bible said that when the man heard that, you could see his head go down. And the Bible says he walked away. The man left because he was sorrowful because he had many things. The word of God went out and it goes out and it separates the lost from the found.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parables, The Technicolor of Truth. It's a lesson that takes a look at one of the teaching tools we find in Scripture. It's also an introductory lesson to Pastor Jack's topical series on these fascinating biblical teaching tools. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder that the entire series of television programs, Real Marriage, are yours on DVD for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Recently, we brought you a handful of interviews that we took from our Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program on the topic of marriage. I got to sit down with Pastor Jack and his lovely wife, Lisa, to engage in some pretty frank discussions on the subject of marriage and all that's involved. Actually, there are a total of 13 of these programs, including 3 that are Q&A sessions. They were kind of cool. And all those are all yours in a 3-DVD set for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Call, click, or write. Just ask for it by name, The Real Marriage Series on DVD. Whether you're married, not married, thinking about getting married, this series is a good one for everyone. Real Marriage on DVD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.